The U.S. tells Zelensky that security guarantees depend on withdrawal from Donbass.
That's a lie. And I saw him say that, and it's unfortunate he would say that because he knows that's not true, and that's not what he was told. What he was told is the obvious. Security guarantees are not going to kick in until there's an end to a war, because otherwise you're getting yourself involved in the war. Okay, what is a security guarantee? It is troops that are willing to step in and secure. If you put that in place now, that means you're injecting yourself in the war. What he was told very clearly, and he should have understood it, is that the security guarantees come only after there is an end to the war. But that was not attached to unless he gives up territory. I don't know why he says these things. They're just not true.
What is the U.S. position on Donbass?
We've told the Ukrainian side what the Russians are insisting on. We're not advocating for it. We've explained it to them. It's their choice to make. It's not for us to make for them. We've never told them they have to take it or leave it. The role we have played is to try to figure out what both sides want and see if we can bridge the middle ground. The decision ultimately is up to Ukraine. If they don't want to make certain decisions or certain concessions, then the war keeps going.
This is my video update on this Saturday afternoon, March the 28th, coming to you from Limassol, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with the big news story for today, which is the announcement that the Yemen Houthis are going to enter the war. The Houthis made that announcement after firing missiles into Israel. And the Houthis, they said that the continued escalation and attacks against Iran and against Lebanon has led them to make the decision to join the war. Now, this is very, very bad news for the Trump administration, because last time they tried to deal with the Houthis, things did not turn out so well. It's very bad news for the entire planet, because we could be looking at an additional choke point for energy, for oil. The Houthis, they might block the Al-Mandab Strait. And if they decide to do to the Al-Mandab Strait what Iran is doing to the Strait of Hormuz, then we could be looking at approximately 25% of global energy being choked off. So this is a big development, very big development. The war is expanding, and the war intensifies. This is from Al Jazeera. Yemen's Houthis launch missile attack on Israel as war on Iran intensifies. I just said that. And Trump faces new oil shock threat as Iran eyes second strait. A major shipping choke point on the Red Sea could come under Iran-sponsored attack to further disrupt global energy supplies. Doesn't sound like the Trump administration is winning. Things are moving in a very dangerous direction. So Israel, they hit steel facilities in Iran yesterday. They also hit some power facilities. And this is a big development, because just the other day, Trump posted on Truth Social that he was extending the pause on going after power plants and power facilities. Krauser Brau, genuine lager. We've got Krauser Brau in Cyprus. So we have the announcement on Truth Social that there's going to be a 10-day extension to the attacks on energy. And what do we get? We get an attack on energy facilities and also on steel facilities. And steel is very important for Iran. two steel facilities, actually. And so what was Iran's response to this attack? The foreign minister, Arachi, he posted on X, Israel has hit two of Iran's largest steel factories, a power plant and civilian nuclear sites, among other infrastructure. Israel claims it acted in coordination with the U.S. Attack contradicts POTUS extended deadline for diplomacy. Iran will exact heavy price for Israeli crimes. So Iran hit Kuwait really hard. Yesterday they hit Bahrain. Iraq was also hit. And we also had Saudi Arabia as well, which was hit. An airbase, a U.S. airbase, the Prince Sultan base was hit. And Reuters, as well as the Associated Press, they are reporting that there were U.S. casualties at this airbase. Iran strike on base in Saudi Arabia injures 12 U.S. troops, too seriously, U.S. official tells Reuters. And the Associated Press is reporting that at least 29 American soldiers were injured this week in Iranian strikes on the Prince Sultan base in Saudi Arabia. The combined attack yesterday injured 15 soldiers, five of them seriously. Earlier this week, 14 soldiers were injured in two other attacks by Iran. Iran also damaged U.S. Refueling aircraft, as well as some other aircraft on this airbase. And I'm not even sure if this is the retaliation to the attacks on the steel factories and the power plants. Maybe that retaliation is yet to come. But last time we had Israel attack the energy infrastructure of Iran, Iran smashed Qatar's gas facilities. And that's when Trump called for the pause, the five-day pause. And in that message, I remember Trump said that the United States had nothing to do with the attacks. He said that Israel was simply angry, and the United States was not involved in the attacks on the gas facilities, which led to the Iranian retaliation, which freaked out President Trump. I wonder what Trump is going to say this time around, because according to Arachi, this was coordinated between the United States and Israel. I cannot imagine Israel launching these types of attacks and these strikes without the coordination of the United States, which would obviously mean that Trump lied. He lied about the 10-day extension, the pause on going after power plants and energy facilities. So that is an update on the latest developments in the war. And Rubio was on his way to Paris, I believe, to attend the G7 meeting of foreign ministers, the powerful G7 countries meeting in France, the home of Macron. And Rubio, he spoke to the media, and he answered questions on Iran, as well as on Project Ukraine. Rubio said that the war is going to last another 2 to 4 weeks. He did mention that the United States is completing their operations. They're achieving their objectives, whatever those objectives are. But he did say that the conflict will take another 2 to 4 weeks to wrap up. And on Project Ukraine, Rubio, he said that Le Gobelin Vert is a liar. Yeah, a reporter asked Marco Rubio about Zelensky's statement that he gave to Reuters in an interview where Zelensky said that the United States is pressuring Ukraine to cede the Donbas. And if Ukraine does remove its military from the Donbas, then the United States will provide security guarantees to Ukraine. Rubio said that this is a lie. His exact words. Le Goblin Ver is lying. Speaking to reporters while in Paris for the G7 meeting on Friday, Rubio flatly denied that was the case about Zelensky's statement, bluntly describing Zelensky's assertions as a lie. That's a lie. I saw him say that, and it's unfortunate he would say that because he knows that's not true, Rubio stated when asked about his take on Zelensky's interview. What he was told is the obvious. Security guarantees are not going to kick in until there's an end to a war, because otherwise you're getting yourself involved in the war, he added. Rubio stressing that the United States is not looking to get involved in the war in Ukraine. Okay, we believe that one. And the U.S.'s role in Project Ukraine in the conflict is of that as a mediator. It is a mediator and negotiator, a neutral party mediator when it comes to Ukraine. And security guarantees, according to Rubio, would just pull the United States into the war, because the United States is not involved whatsoever in the war in Ukraine, and it doesn't want to be involved in the war in Ukraine. So Rubio calling Zelensky a liar. Who's lying and who's telling the truth these days? It's hard to tell anymore. So Rubio in Paris. So he was making these statements when he landed in Paris, not before he left for Paris, for the very important G7 meeting of foreign ministers. And of course, attending this meeting will be none other than stunning and brave Kaya Kallas. And so Kaya Kallas has finally done it. Success, success. She finally got her meeting with Marco Rubio. After a year and a half of trying, she finally got her meeting with Marco Rubio. Of course, it was at the G7 summit. It wasn't a bilateral meeting, but it doesn't matter. It still counts. She still got her face-to-face with the U.S. Secretary of State. And well, according to Axios, it did not go well. It did not go well at all. Axios is reporting that Rubio and Kallas got into a fight. They were fighting a heated exchange on Russia at the G7 meeting, according to Axios. So the story is that Kallas was complaining to Rubio about the lack of escalation against Russia. And she was pressing Rubio, nagging Rubio about the fact that the U.S. is not escalating enough. You have to escalate harder. Harder, Kallas said. Escalate harder, Rubio. Harder. And Rubio said, you know what? This is great. Rubio said, you know what? If you want to escalate, go ahead. Do it on your own. Leave me alone. Leave us out of it. Let me read you his exact quote. If you think you can do it better, go ahead. We will step aside. That is what he said to Kallas, his demands for more sanctions and pressure on Moscow. Axios says that Rubio snapped back at Stunning and Brave. So she finally gets her meeting, and it ends up in a fight. Oh, boy. So that's the G7. Took place yesterday. I don't know if it's taking place today as well. But we have news on Russia and reports coming out of TASS that the Kremlin is thinking about. They haven't decided this yet, because some outlets are saying this has been decided, but the Kremlin is thinking about pausing exports of gasoline for a few months. Russia has decided to ban gasoline exports for local producers from April 1st to July 31st, TASS reports. Now, my understanding of things is that the Kremlin is looking into this, and they still have not made a definitive decision, but maybe they have at the time of this recording. Maybe the Kremlin has indeed decided to limit exports of gasoline. Now, there are some analysts that believe that this is proof that the drone strikes into St. Petersburg, which hit the oil facilities, was a success, and now Russia has to limit their exports. But my understanding of things is that this is not the case. Actually, Bloomberg is reporting that at one of the facilities in the St. Petersburg area, the damage has pretty much been fixed from the drone strike, and everything is back to normal pretty much. But the reason that I believe, my understanding of things, that Russia is limiting the gas exports for a few months is to prioritize the local market, to prioritize market stability, and to keep prices down, because what you're going to have is a global crisis and a global shortage. And so what Russia is doing is they're prioritizing the local market, the local businesses, the local people. And so they're going to put a stop to exports for a few months until we see how everything shakes out. I wonder if the United States is going to do the same. What's to prevent Trump from waking up one morning and saying, you know what, I also need to stabilize the local market, and so I'm also going to put a stop to exports of gas, oil, and LNG. Can you imagine if Trump does that? That would be devastating for the European Union. Absolutely devastating, because US LNG is pretty much the only game in town right now for the EU. Because Qatar made it official. They have announced, declared force majeure on Qatari LNG contracts through May 2026. They're canceling the contracts for Italy, Belgium, South Korea, and China. Qatar is one of the world's largest LNG suppliers, accounting for 20% of global LNG production. You know, if I was the EU, I would be very, very worried. Not at Russia's move, but I would be worried at, what is he about to do? He's on the hunt. I would be worried at what the United States might do. He's hunting. Go get him. I think he's going after that bird over there, or is he going after something there? Maybe that was what he was going after. No worries. So, that was exciting. That was exciting. Let's talk about Trump. And he was giving a speech. I forgot where. I'm not sure where. Some institute. I can't make it out. I can't make it out from the background. Anyway, Trump was saying some pretty wacky things, some really wacky stuff. Wow, it's getting worse. Every day is getting more bizarre, the stuff that Trump is saying. Where to begin? It looks like Trump admitted that the aircraft carriers, or the Ford aircraft carrier, was it the Ford? I believe it was the Ford. that it was damaged. It was hit by Iran because he was relaying a story to those in attendance about how Iranian missiles, Iranian swarm attacks is what he called it, caught the U.S. military by surprise. The U.S. Navy was completely overwhelmed by massive Iranian swarm attacks. Trump admits that they came from 17 different angles and almost wiped them out. So he talked about that. He probably shouldn't have talked about that, but okay. He decided to mention the Iranian swarm attacks. He also poked fun at MBS of Saudi Arabia. At least that's how it sounded when I watched the video. Maybe he's just joking around with MBS. Maybe they have that type of relationship. I don't know, but he was speaking about Saudi Arabia and how the Biden administration was weak and it was not respected, and now Trump is strong and he's respected, and so Saudi Arabia needs to understand this, and they need to kiss up to Trump, because the United States, he said, is the hottest country in the world. It's on the top 10 list of hot countries. The United States is number one. And believe me, I follow the list of top 10 hottest countries. And under Biden, the United States was not even in the top 10. And now under Trump, the United States is at the top of the table. It is number one.
He didn't think this was going to happen. He didn't think he'd be kissing my ass. He really didn't. He thought he'd be just another American president that was a loser, where the country was going downhill. But now he has to be nice to me. You tell him he better be nice to me. He's got to be. But it was really something.
So we'll see what Saudi Arabia's reaction, if any, is going to be to Trump's statements there. Trump, what else did Trump say? He called the Strait of Hormuz the Strait of Trump. He was trolling. He was joking around. But in Trump style, he said, maybe I'm not joking around. I'm joking around. Maybe I'm not joking around. He said they have to open up the Strait of Hormuz, the Strait of Trump. I mean, Hormuz, excuse me. I'm so sorry. Such a terrible mistake. And so he was having some trolling. He was engaged in some trolling action there. The Strait of Trump. He's serious about that. I think he's serious about that. I think he really wants the Strait of Hormuz to be renamed the Strait of Trump. Just like the Gulf of Mexico, right? The Gulf of America. Or is it the Gulf of Trump? I still think of it as the Gulf of Mexico. But anyway, that was a bizarre statement from the U.S. president. The Strait of Hormuz, for which the United States has no need for. Don't need it, don't want it, don't use it. But it'd be pretty cool if it was called the Strait of Trump. It was bizarre. It was very, very bizarre, this speech. He said, I hang out with the losers because it makes me feel better. I hate guys that are very, very successful, and you have to listen to their success stories. I like people that like to listen to my success stories. Okay. And then he told a story about meeting Mr. Toyota of Toyota car fame. And he met Mr. Toyota. He was introduced to this gentleman who said he's Mr. Toyota. And Trump said, wow, you're rich. You have a lot of money. How about an investment in the United States? And Mr. Toyota said, sure. How about $10 billion? And that was his story about Toyota and their investments in the United States. The problem that Trump has with this story is that Mr. Toyota passed away many years ago, in 2023. The current CEO is 65 years old. I believe it's Mr. Toyota's son, but he's only 65 years old. And Toyota has denied promising an investment of $10 billion in the U.S. after Trump's announcement. Toyota denies. That was 4 months ago. Trump made this announcement 4 months ago. I'm having problems speaking today. He made this announcement 4 months ago about the $10 billion. So that is true, that he announced this $10 billion investment. Toyota 4 months ago denied that they promised $10 billion investment, but they are investing heavily in the United States. That is true. Now, yesterday, he talked about meeting Mr. Toyota, who passed away in 2023, but he met Mr. Toyota, and Toyota said that he's going to invest $10 billion in the United States just upon meeting Trump. I said, what do you have to do with Toyota? He said, I own it. He then agreed to invest $10 billion in the U.S. The real owner died in 2023. The current CEO is 65 years old. So that was an interesting statement from Trump. I think this is a good time to get into some clown worlds for today. And the first clown world is coming from the WAPO. The Washington Post, they called the White House using an Android device via Google Maps and Android. And the call came up as Epstein Island. The Post called the White House, but the name attached to the number read Epstein Island. A Google Maps error labeled the White House as Epstein Island on some Android phones. Google reversed the edit, and the White House said it was an external issue. Just a mistake. Just a mistake calling up the White House, and it came up as Epstein Island. It has since been reversed by Google. And then we have the story about Kash Patel, and his mail was hacked. The FBI director had his mail, his email hacked. Pro-Iranian hacking group claims credit for hack of FBI director Kash Patel's personal account. How does that happen? How does the FBI director have his personal account hacked? You would think that all of his accounts would be in super, super double protective, triple, quadruple security lockdown. He's the FBI director. And there are photos now from his account on social media, personal photos. Nothing interesting or nothing to write home about, but still, his personal account allegedly hacked by Iranian hackers, the FBI director. Embarrassing, very, very embarrassing. Anyway, that is the video, everybody, on this Saturday in Limassol, Dasuthi Beach, the very famous and popular Dasuthi Beach. Pretty soon, there will be umbrellas here, and we will be in summer here in Cyprus. I'm going to sign off, theduran.locals.com. We are on X and Rumble and Telegram. Go to the Duran shop, pick up some merch. There are some people swimming today. It's a bit cold to swim, but you could pull it off. You could definitely pull it off. Check out our Substack. Link is in the description box down below. I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care.